We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in you. We shall never surrender. We shall never surrender.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 38 of The Art of Surrender. And first of all, my apologies, didn't release an episode last week. I was a little bit low on guests at the time and just sort of needed a week off anyway. But so here we are, we're back today, and I am joined by the one and only, the man, the myth, the legend, and the man of the moment too, the hero of the local jiu-jitsu community, Jamil.
Oh, really?
How are you, mate? Also known as Coffee and Chokes, or the Instagram name's changed a little bit.
I'm the artist formerly known as Coffee and Chokes that now just goes by my real name. I've done a Prince. Now just my normal name now, Milvac underscore BJJ.
Which is funny though, because so for people listening, Jamil was the first episode of The Art of Surrender. And I, as always, I say thank you for that. You kick things off with me and I appreciate it. And then you appeared again on episode number 17, which was about 5 months ago. And now here we are, episode number 38. You're on again. And and what's funny is this time we're doing it on Zoom, which is the first time I've seen your face on a screen. Usually it's in person. And I did see you like, 2 days ago in person as well?
Yeah. It's funny for most of people. It's like the opposite. Most people see me like through a camera or through their phone or something like that, but they never see me in person. But with me and you, Brad, we see each other all the time.
Yeah, that's true. Like the opposite. Yeah. And I saw you because you had the open mat that you were doing recently. Yeah. And I had to return 4 mats that I'd been borrowing from you for almost a year, probably since COVID
started. About a year.
Before we go any further, I'm just going to say I want those mats back.
It's really funny. For the viewers that are listening, they can't see us on video call right now, but I'm sitting on those 4 mats right now in my spare room. So I'm literally sitting on the mats now.
Are you comfortable? Yeah, I see.
They're comfortable. I'm just leaning against the wall, sitting on the mats. This room is empty. It's got a good acoustics in it. So I'm using this room that I'm talking in right now. But yeah, you will get those mats back. I've got plenty. Yeah, don't worry.
So I'll say before I actually, you know what, the open mat, do you want to talk to me a little bit about that? So you were trying to raise money, do an open mat, just doing generally good things in the community. So what was the purpose this time?
Yeah. So most people knew me, especially last year under my Instagram name, Coffee and Chokes, when I was doing quite a few open mats quite regularly, outdoor open mats, some for charities, some for not charities. But then obviously last year, coronavirus happened, and with COVID, it shut public gatherings and meetings down. So I couldn't really do those outdoor open mats anymore. So then that's why instead refocused myself onto the video podcasts. But now that we're here in WA, COVID has died down a bit. We've got a lot more freedom with the restrictions right now. It enables me to continue the open mats and put it back on, because I had people messaging me all the time wondering where the next ones, when are you going to do it again? And I thought the day after Australia Day would be a good day to do it out on the beach, because usually on those days, the beaches aren't too packed. It's nice and quiet, so you can find really easy parking. So for this last one, I just decided to do it at City Beach this time, mainly because the parking was a lot more better, a lot more accessible, easy to get to, and the beach, the waterfront itself, is actually closer to the previous beach where I was using last time, which was Sorrento. Work went well. This time I chose to have the donations and the purpose behind the open mat to go to a program called Tenacious House. So what Tenacious House is, it's a physical house that houses men that go through life-controlling issues and addictions. I think the house usually can hold up to about 5 to 10 guys. They all go in there voluntarily, admit themselves in, and basically their house just pretty much cares for them, feeds them, mentors them, offers them support. So it's basically an actual home where guys can go to that need that extra help and support. And I've got close friends that have graduated from that program, so I know that program does work. So it was really good to give into that. We raised about $280 on that single day alone, and then there was only about 20 attendees, I think, on that day, but we raised about $280, which was really cool. And I thought it would be really cool to give into Tenacious House, because those donations will physically go to a person that's staying at that house, and it's more practical and also more, you know where it's going to. So let's say a guy puts in $10, $20, that $10 will buy a loaf of bread for the house. That $50 that someone put in, that's going to pay a phone bill for the house. The other $50 that someone put in, that's going to pay for high-vis uniforms and work boots. Because the guys, when they're in the house, they also get trained to learn a trade or learn various skills. Because once they're in the house, they're also trained on how to get a job, how to look for jobs, how to keep a job. So all the donations that are raised on that day, it actually physically goes to something. Because I've done previous open mats where I've done it for charities for mental health, but not naming the name of the charities, but let's say you donate about $100, $200, that $200 will go into printing of pamphlets and booklets. Mm. It doesn't physically go to a person in need. It actually goes into admin fees and admin costs. Whereas when I donate to a Pacific house or an org like Tenacious, it physically goes to a person, a real person living in that house, and it goes straight to them instead of just going, you know, online in the air ready for it to be used into printing a book or something like that. And I don't really want to do that again. I'd rather this money to go to someone that actually really needed it on the day or on the week when they get it.
So let me ask, have you actually physically transferred that money across to them yet?
Not yet, because after yesterday I went home. All right. And I just got back from work from Rockingham, so after this podcast I gotta go do the BSB and AC transfer.
Easy. The reason for asking that was when we finish, let me know exactly what that dollar amount was and I'll round it up to the 300 for you, just so it's a sweeter number to get to send over, you know, a little bit nicer.
It's basically $20.
Yeah, we'll sort it out after. It's not much, but I'll send you that. For a good cause. And so with Tenacious House, do they?
Yes.
What's the deal there? Are people able to go and stay as long as they like, or is it a short-term arrangement? How does it work? Because it's a small number of people.
But what I know is, because I have done volunteer stuff there before when I was a few years back, so guys can go in there and they can stay, hopefully. It's basically the mentors that look after them. They let them stay for when they believe they're ready to go, because the mentors will be there and look after them as long as they can. But when they feel like they're ready to go out back into the community, go back to their families, go into jobs, they'll let them go. But I think from what I know is it is a 12-month or 9-month program where they can live there for like 9, 12 months. And once that 9 months is done, they should be adequate enough to go out back into the community and do their thing, from what I know.
But where is it? Is that on Nangara Road? Halfway up?
Kind of.
Between that and Summer Drive?
Well, I don't know where the current house is, but I know the first house, when I was chatting to you the other day about it, it's in Bullsbrook.
Really?
Yeah, it's in Bullsbrook. So if you go up Bullsbrook, up on that long-ass Nangara Road, or whatever that road is, that really long, it's where you live.
Yeah. Great Northern Highway.
Yeah. Go straight there. It's in a block of land there. So it's a little secluded area, block of land where the guys can stay. But the cool thing about it, the house is there, but the guys can come in, they can leave and stay at the house from where they choose. But what they do is, right, where the house is, it's surrounded by bush and there's only one way to get out, and it's just like a metal gate. But the thing is, this is the cool thing, they don't lock the gates. Because if a guy wants to leave the program and quit and he's had enough, they leave the gate open, so it shows that you can leave whenever you want, but there has to be the physical act of motion of physically opening that gate to leave the program. So they leave that gate unlocked. And for a lot of guys,
they walk to the gate and then they don't open it.
that's the crazy thing is. So they'll have the gates unlocked if you want to leave. If you don't finish this program or if you want to go back home, the gates unlocked. But like I said, there's that mental block where the guys have to know that they have to physically walk through this gate and know that if they walk through this gate, they know that they've given up.
Yeah.
But they leave it unlocked to know that the gate's open, but we want you to stay, you know? So that's the cool thing that they do is. And most from what I know is when I last spoke to the mentors there, no one ever leaves the gate. No one's ever like walked out, or they've gone to the gate, but no one's gone past the gate. They're like, they go there, have that little episode, and they're like, nah, stuff, I'm going back in the house.
Yeah, got to see it through, see it to the end.
Yeah, yeah, that happens quite a lot, quite often from what I'm told. Yeah.
There you go. So that's nice. So you've raised, yeah, about $300. So that's lovely, man. And that's on top of, I think, so one of the previous ones you raised, I think a little bit more than that, right? On the one of the first ones.
No, actually, but I think the turnout was... I raised, before that was Beyond Blue, I raised a bit less. That was a bit less. But the biggest one was the Bushfire one.
Mm.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That was like 3,000.
Fuck yeah, that's awesome, man. Oh, because you even had, for that one, you even had people that were just walking by donating, right?
Donating, yeah, that was the cool thing about it, because it was out in the open in Sorrento, and because the bushfires was such a big crisis at the start of last year, people were willing to support it and put in, where compared to last night, because after Australia Day, the beach is a bit more quiet. We did have people walking past, but they were all doing their own thing. But no, it's cool because people get to see and watch and they get an idea of it. I think the last outdoor open mat that Daz and Luke from Free Rollers did there, people walking past and ask about jiu-jitsu and asking questions and wanting to know more about it and what clubs are around. So there's always people that walk past these events and it always gives them an idea of what goes on in the community and get a more insight, eye view of what Brazilian jiu-jitsu is. So it's really cool to do it outdoors.
Mm.
And it feels good as well. It's good. You got the wind, you got the ocean, you got the sun. Like towards around 6-7 o'clock, the sunset set, and you get this awesome color. So if you're like an Instagram person, you had some like great shots. So I think Henin Durantis from Caringan Essence, he got some really good photos and videos of him training to the sunset. He uploaded his Instagram. It looked freaking sick, which is cool. But yeah, it's always good.
I love your work, mate. Keep it up. I know it's a big effort, right? Organizing something like that. And like it's easy in a way, right? You just need to lay some mats on the grass and people show up and then you train. But at the same time, the organizing that goes into it, whatever forms you need, local council forms, permission, then getting there, organizing, the logistics of it all, it adds up and it's a time thing, right? So I commend you your efforts.
Yeah. There's all these little bits and pieces that goes behind it as well, and but I always get nervous when I put them on. Anyway, I still get nervous when I put them on because I get there and I always, especially when I'm driving there, I always think, man, what if like two people or three people rock up and I've got all these mats and, you know, it's just me training with like two randoms I've never met before. But it's always a good turnout, and there's always people that I've met previous before or meet new people, so it's always good either way. I've never had like a no-show dead party.
Oh man, that's the fear we all have, right? Like,
yeah, it's exactly like putting on a party. It's like you can send the invites out and then you're like, oh, hopefully people actually come. And that's still the same when I put these open mats up. But there is a lot of stuff that goes into it, like council, locations, advertising, getting the right amount of mats into a car. Because previously I was hiring a van from Bunnings. I paid the $200 day fee and put it in the van. But now I've got this Ford Escape, which is pretty spacious, and now I just put all the jigsaw mats in that Ford Escape. I can get quite a few mats in there, which is quite handy.
Yeah, I remember speaking of being like anxious about arriving and hoping people turn up. I remember when you did the turtle seminar at Free Rollers and we were chatting beforehand and you were like, damn, make sure you come, Brad. Like, I hope you're just like at Sustainable just saying, are you coming? Are you coming? Are you coming? Just worried no one would turn up.
That was pretty funny because I was like worried that no one would turn up because like, oh man, no one will turn up. No one knows who I am. I haven't done any recent comps. I'm just an Instagram dude. So I thought maybe like three people would show up. But yeah, to that date, at that time, that was actually the biggest one that they had at that time. I think Chris Mazzalli's of Mr. Domo, he's had the biggest one so far that Luke's had. But at the time, that was like the biggest turnout Luke has had as a guest at the workshop. So It was pretty cool just to hang out there and show the guys some cool things. Because everyone knows me through my turtle game and my turtle stuff. So
they want to come and check it out.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Luke and also Luke from Humble as well, like I'm looking forward to the four of us doing something together would be nice. because I think with Luke from Humble, Luke from Free Rollers, yourself and myself with our platforms, we should be able to do something pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, that would be sick. For viewers that they're listening, there's two Lukes. There's Humble Luke and Free Roller Luke. They're both named Luke, basically, pretty much. One does Humble Fightwear and one does Free Rollers, just so the people that are listening.
And Taurus BJJ for kids, right? Which is in Fort Kennedy. That's recently been opened up. So all the best to Luke on that success. I'm sure he'll do fine with that. That'll be good. I was going to ask, so I mentioned at the very start, you were the excuse me.
What was that? You knocked someone over?
I knocked my phone off the table. I was going to ask you at the start, I mentioned you were the local hero, the hero of the moment, which was, I think it was last week or the week before, there was the grappling super fights that they had. And there was some logistical issues there. And then you saved the day with your live feed on Instagram. Do you want to tell me a little bit about, it happened again. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that?
So for the listeners, recently in Perth, there's been a new format of tournaments called Grappling Superfights, where it will be, it's all live streamed via Facebook, and the tournament invites different people from different clubs to compete against each other in like dream matches. So I went there that day to the tournament up in Mandra, just to represent Humble Fightwear. I was meant to present some rash guards to the runner-up between the match between Tim and Daz. So I was only getting there just to hand some T-shirts. So, because the other guy, Luke, he was working that night. So I went there to hand the T-shirts out. But as I was there, they'd start the show, they start the live stream and all that. I'm watching, I'm pretty much getting a free spectating show as a sponsor. So I was like, see, I had nothing else to do but what? So I just sat down and watched. But from what I know is match one happens, and that's between Tenniel and Kat. And I'm getting all these messages on my phone, people saying, bro, this live stream is like lagging pretty bad. I can't watch anything. It's actually unwatchable. Because they showed, I was promoting the tournament before on my Instagram. And everyone's messaging me, yeah, this sucks, man. I go to my phone and it looks like it is lagging. I'm talking to Brenton. He's saying the same thing. He's like, yeah, it's all glitchy. It's not working out. And I'm watching the match. And I was like, oh, man, it's a good match, but no one can view it. No one can see it. And the guy who was running the event, he's on his laptop. He's sweating. He's trying to figure out what's going on as well. So I had like three people message me. I think it was like Adam Jarks, I think maybe yourself, and also Gabby messaged me, oh, bro, you just go live on your Instagram, bro. But I was like, oh, yeah. But I was a bit nervous to do it because I didn't want to like be rude to the guy running the event. I don't want to steal his thunder and take his live stream and put it on my phone. But this second match happened between Tim and Daz. It was getting like, it was like a really good match. And everyone was saying, this live stream sucks. People were dropping like flies. So I just made the call in the last minute to just go live on my one. And I thought only like, I don't know, a handful of like 30 people, or 30 people that follow me on Instagram would watch it. But what happened is those 30 people that were watching it were telling other 30 people to go watch it. And what was happening on the Facebook live stream, apparently someone wrote in the comments, yeah, this lag sucks. Go on this mill_vac BJJ Instagram account. The guy's streaming it for free.
I didn't say that the stream sucked, but I commented saying like your Instagram page and that you were...
I don't know. Like I said, the event organizer is a great guy, but I knew that there was issues there. And apparently on the Facebook, someone commented, just go on this guy's Instagram page and go from there. And apparently suddenly I'm looking on my phone, there's like 500 viewers. I was like, oh man, this is pretty hectic. And I'm like, got the phone on the fight during the live stream. But because it was invitational, only competitors and coaches only, there was only like 12 people watching. So I was a bit dead quiet. So I started recording. I started commentating on my phone, just commentating the fights. And apparently people really liked that.
Yeah, man. I enjoyed it. It was good fun. It was like, yeah, watching it like that. It made it, it was a different atmosphere than what the live stream was lagging, but which is fine. And I'll say to the guy running the show, fuck man, good idea. Miss the mark a little bit on the live stream, but don't let that break your confidence. Just like just go again. Yeah. The idea is fucking good. The execution can improve And that was only the first run. So you're gonna get it right, and it will get traction, and it will do well. If you already had 500 viewers, man, that shows you how good it can be. Get the next one going, man, and don't let it break your confidence.
He's actually a really cool guy, and really cool guy. He even thanked me after. So, thanks for providing the live stream and the commentary. But to be honest with the commentary, I was just talking shit.
but that was good. Maybe for the next one, he'll just bloody employ you to do the commentary.
I was just making generic, grappling comments. I was getting under hooks. Oh, missed the call. He stepped the leg back. Where's that back step? Oh, he's going for a choke. Just generic crap like that. Just to out of my own boredom. Not boredom, but out of my own, I'll just do something. Yeah. So that was good. And then I think the next day I woke up to 100 followers. I was like, what the heck? Who the hell are all these people? I was like, but it was good because I got to witness one of the greatest live matches I've ever seen in my entire life at that show. And that was the match between Daz Mocharoka and Tim Braun. So this is the situation. We go in there. I head into the tournament, GFT Mandra. So there's two people there, two settings. You got Daz there. I know Daz quite well, good friend of mine. He's saying hello to everyone. I was like, what's up, man? He's joking around. He's chatting to this person. He's chatting to that person, saying hi, making jokes, being loose, being Daz. Tim, on the other hand, he is in the very far, furthest corner of the whole mat space, in the very far corner, headphones in, not paying attention to anyone. I went to go say hello, just got a high five. That was it. He said, hey. But he was in the zone the whole time, in the zone, on his headphones, doing his warm-ups, doing his stretches. The whole time he was quiet, didn't say a word to anyone. Then they were doing the warm-ups. It was just him, Adam Metcalf, and Tyrone King, doing the warm-ups with him, still in the zone, dead quiet. The match starts, and it was like a back and forth road. Daz was grappling, no shirt on. Tim had the long sleeve shirt on. But get this, Tim was like the huge underdog in that match. He was like the social media underdog. And I'll speak to Coach Adam about this as well. We were saying, Daz has got a lot of experience in tournaments. He's been successful in tournaments. Well, Tim, on the other hand, hasn't been that successful. So he was a huge underdog coming to this match. Everyone thought that Daz would get this guy in the first 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. They end up grappling for easily 25 minutes straight, maybe half an hour, nonstop. Like no rest rounds. The first 20-minute round was a no rest 20 minutes nonstop to the point where no one was getting gripped. It was pretty much who can lose focus first and loses the position into a submission. So I went to overtime. So I'm live streaming on my phone, goes to overtime. I'm going nuts. I thought it was going to be a draw. And Brenton's like, bro, no, EBI rules, baby. EBI rules. I was like, what the hell's happening? So basically, if it goes to overtime, one person will take the back and whoever sinks in the choke the fastest will get that time, and then the next person will try and will get the hooks in, take the back, and he has to try and beat the other guy's time of sinking the choke, or the other guy escapes. Tim goes up first. I think he sinks the choke into Daz in the first, roughly, let's say 10 seconds. 10 seconds, he gets a choke, gets the tap, Daz's turn. Tim holds Daz off for about 15 seconds, and then the referee at the time saw it, that Tim got the choke the fastest, and he ends up winning the whole match. Wins the match in overtime. But it was just one of the greatest matches I've ever seen. Just the build-up. Tim's in his corner, the underdog, not talking to anyone. He had a lot more to lose here. He wanted to show that he had the right stuff. He wanted to show that, that he could still roll. Yeah, other guy, Daz, life of the party, saying hi to everyone. I've got this in the bag. And both of them just meet, and Tim just uses that little bit of laser edge focus and determination and that will to win just to get that last sub in the overtime. So it was just really cool and something special to see. Me see someone totally in the zone and has a lot more to lose compared to someone who's goes in there and is like, yeah, I got this. And I love Daz. But like I said, it was the two polar opposites of two different mindsets of going into the game. And that was a really cool thing about it. Mm. So yeah, it was one of the greatest matches I've ever seen.
Do you think that Daz thought he had it, or do you think that he's just a little bit more relaxed in the preparation and just the role's going to go how the role goes regardless, so he's just not worried about it?
I think that for Daz, he knew he could go either way, but that's just Daz's personality.
Yeah, because he's general. He's easygoing, man.
He's a very open guy, very outgoing, but at the same time, so is Tim. Tim's a very friendly and outgoing guy, very chatty. You know, can't find any faults in him. But that day, he switched everything off. He turned all the lights off in his mind, in his head, turned all the distractions off. And that was enough for him to get that little slight edge to get that overtime submission. Because it really could have gone either way. Because like I said, he went for 20 minutes. It was back and forth, even no points. You know, Dan's going for leg locks, Tim's going for chokes and Kimura. So it really could have gone either way. But like I said, Tim had that little extra drive to sink that choke in a lot more deeper and defend a lot more longer compared to what Daz could give him. So yeah, it was just really interesting to see those two polar opposites of mindsets come together. And it really was like a true underdog story. Because like I said, no one gave Tim a chance to win that. And he won it.
Yeah, well, they did the social media votes, right? Like, who's going to win? And I picked Daz, but that's only because I've rolled with Daz and I've never met Tim and I've had Daz on my podcast, so we're friends. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm voting for Daz.
Tim's got a good game, very good game. Very good passing butterfly, and he's got a good butterfly game himself, actually. Tim's a great guy, great to roll with as well.
So I'll say on that. Grappling super fights, there was what I think out of the six competitors, I've previously had Daz on the podcast. So for listeners, he had a very good podcast with me, and I had a lot of people hit me up after that saying that they thought it was fascinating because he was very open and honest about mental health struggles. Yeah, man, and that's it takes a very courageous person to be that open. So that was I appreciated that a lot, man.
One of my favorite podcasts.
Oh yeah, it was one of my favorites.
Yeah,
too.
It was pretty.
So for people listening, if you're interested, episode 35 was with Daz. Then also from that same day, grappling super fights, Tenille and Kat competed against one another, and I've had both of those ladies on my podcast. So Kat was episode number 27. Yeah. And she was also on it with her coach, Lee Berger, from Grappling Techniques. Mm-hmm. And then I have also had Tenille on my podcast, and she was episode number 29. And she was also on it with her partner and coach, Brenton Chong. So lovely people, man. I tell you what, this one thing, I've done this podcast now for, we're about, in the next 2 weeks, it's going to be officially a year. And all I can say is that I've just met beautiful people over the last year that I otherwise probably would never have met.
Yeah. That's me.
Bless you.
Yeah, I sneezed.
Beautiful people, of course, excluding yourself. You're a bloody pest.
Oh, yeah, I'm always around. Who's that song locking your door?
No, I think that was my Hey Google just started chirping.
Yeah, because I sneezed. I unlocked the secret sound codes.
Jesus, what is going on? Every bit of tech, my whole house is being taken over by technology right now. So anyway, there's been a few people that were at that grappling super fights that have been on the podcast. So if you want to check out their episodes, you can. They're all great people, all good episodes, interesting stories. And also there was Scott Carpenter. What was the main event? Scott Carpenter versus...
Scott Carpenter and Pablo Torrealba. Yeah. That was a really good match as well. Really, really cool. Scott's got some, like, he had a good game plan. He was using his game plan, using the boy lock takedowns pretty much at will. But Pablo was doing a really good job at defending and rolling. Because not many people can last even 5 minutes with Scott Carpenter. Mm. And Pablo managed to last at least 10 or more. I'm not quite exactly sure, but he did really well at grappling against Scott. He's also obviously, I don't know, maybe 20 kilos heavier than him as well. I think they're about similar height, but Scott's a lot more heavier. But that was a good fight as well.
Mm. Oh, it was a good event, man. Like, you know, the live stream unfortunately didn't go to plan, probably because of the internet issues. But overall, mate, there's heaps to look forward to for future events. That's for sure. So just keep...
Yeah, there's definitely going to be more future events. I don't want to reveal to anything until it's officially announced, but I do know where the next one's going to be, and I will be involved in that one. But the next one, it shouldn't have any problems with the live stream. I definitely know that.
You told me the other day. I know where it's going to be.
Yeah, I'll keep it the download just in case it changes. But I do know the next one is going to be our blue belt champion tournament. So they got different blue belts on different clubs in Perth. And they're going to much battle out who's the best blue belt in Perth. And there's going to be two secret super fights to be added to the card that are yet to be announced.
Ah, okay. So basically, who's the main blue belt that should be a purple belt?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty much all. Who's getting a podium promotion on the day,
So what else has been going on? You, mate, recently, are you recording me with your phone right now?
Yeah, but no one can see this. Only I'll see this one. I'll upload it later.
All right.
Keep going. Good.
I was going to say, yeah, so recently you've had a little bit of loss. And I've obviously spoken to you in person and we've like talked a little bit more at length, but the loss of your father, do you want to talk a little bit about that at all? It's fine if you don't.
Oh yeah, no, I can talk about that. So basically like towards the end of last year, myself, my brother and I, we both found out that, you know, dad got really, really sick and he started throwing up after every time he used to eat. And we thought he just had a stomach bug, but you know, it turns out he got checked, went to the hospital and stayed there for a few weeks. And we thought it was a really bad bug. But after about a month stay in the hospital, we found out that he had pancreatic cancer. And this is towards the second last month of last year. So what was that, like November? Mm-hmm. So it's November, dad's going through, you know, we found out dad's going through cancer. He's in hospital all the time. Me and my brother Joe, we're visiting him quite often. Almost every second night we try and see dad. And to cut the long story short, he ends up passing, you know, 3 days before Christmas, actually. So this would have been the 22nd. Christmas Day was the 25th. So me and my brother, we found dad collapsed on the floor at 3 a.m. at our own house on the 22nd of December. We rushed him to hospital. I had to go to work that day, but my brother John, he went to ambulance with him. And we thought he was going to be fine. We thought he just needed some fluids pumped back into him. And we thought he just had to, like, you know, go back on the IV drip, get some magnesium in him, because he had been throwing up the night before because of the cancer. But around 4 o'clock on the dot, we get a call that you got to go see your dad straight away. He's not looking good and we don't think he's going to make it. We rushed in the car, we went straight there. And unfortunately, we were 5 minutes too late. So he was pronounced, dead at 4:30. We got to the hospital around 4:25. So we were that close
to seeing him.
But it was just unfortunate because we never got to have that closure moment of being, you know, at his bedside. By the side, us, his two sons, they weren't there, and his wife, our mum, she wasn't there. So we weren't able to say our goodbyes, you know, or even hold his hand or even just say a few last words to him. So we never got to have that closure. But also same with my dad, you know, he never got to have that bedside. He was alone in the hospital for the whole day by himself, so he never got to have us by his side during his ordeal of when he had to rush to hospital. So that was the hard thing for both myself and brother, my mum, that but we never got to have that last final say, and he never got to see us. The last time he would have saw us probably the night before when we said our goodnight. So that was quite hard. But even during dad's cancer, I had, you know, always on my thoughts that to stop the podcast as I was doing and stop training altogether and just focus on just seeing dad at hospital and just like spending time with him. And I was so close to just like, just deleting my all accounts, all my social medias. I keep my Facebook, but delete my Instagram or deactivate and just get rid of it all just for a bit. But, you know, I was hanging with my dad. I was telling him, you know, I was like just having chats with him. But he said, no, well, don't do that. You know, just keep doing what you love to do. You love jiu-jitsu. Why not keep doing it? So that was really cool to hear that from him. Because during when dad was sick, I did a podcast with Jake O'Driscoll at Essence. And when I was editing it up, one of the main songs that I used at the start of the podcast, which I always do on my podcast, I used a song. And the song was a song by Lupe Fiasco, The Show Goes On. It's a freaking sick song. It's a banger machine. He loves Lupe Fiasco. And I thought that was the mood of what I was going through as well, The Show Goes On. I was like, oh, even though dad's sick, you know, I still want to keep doing what I love. And I'll keep doing it. And it makes him happy, made me happy. But literally the day after that podcast, 2 days maybe after that podcast was released, and that's when Dad passed. And it was just unfortunate. Like, it all comes in the right timing, because I was going to do a podcast with Romel Lestro, Lestro Academy. I'm still yet to do it. I was going to go to see him on Saturday. And he had a very good relationship with his father as well. And we always talk to each other about father relationships. And he's been a big encouragement over me going through what I was going through, the loss of my dad. So, you know, I put that notice on my Instagram to say, hey, I won't be training for a bit. I apologize for people I was meant to film with, but, you know, my dad's died. I'm going to sort a few things out first. And Romel, who was one of the first guys to message me, say, hey, it's okay, bro. You know how I've been there, know how it feels, and just take your time and come when you need. And it all come, you know, it was just funny. That day, I put out a post previously asking anyone if they had tried CBD to reduce cancer. Mm-hmm. If anyone had any hookups for CBD or to reduce cancer, because I was, you know, I was willing to try anything to help my dad. Put that post up. 2 hours later, Dad passes, which is the crazy thing. So it all comes at the right time. And even that day, the second base gym that I was training, that I was affiliated with, I put up a post in the group chat saying, hey guys, I won't be training at this gym anymore. I've terminated my membership. I'll just be focusing on looking after my dad, because I knew he's in his last days. And I know he doesn't have much long left. The day that I put that message in that group chat happened also to be the day that Dad passes away. So it all just coming. But after that, I just needed an extra 2 weeks to sort his arrangements, sort his funerals and his services out, just to like honor his requests, get the family together. And after those 2 weeks, I was just sitting at home going, oh man, I could do something. And then I knew that Dad would rather want me doing what I love to do. And that was doing jiu-jitsu, doing the podcast, doing the video. Because when I used to do the interviews and upload on Facebook, he used to love it. He used to like watch it. He'd share it to my uncles and cousins and all that. You know, nothing about jiu-jitsu. He'd share it just to say, oh, look at my son. He's on TV. So he
that's what proud parents do, man. He'd be proud of you, bro. He'd be very proud of you, because it's not it's a challenging thing to put yourself out there like that. And I experience it myself at times too, doing this, you know, like I've been doing it for a year now, so I'm pretty used to it. And obviously we're going to sit down and do a coffee and chats one together soon.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, man, fuck, life's tough, right? Continuing to train, has that helped you through this time? Like, what's been an outlet that's helped you deal with this?
Well, the thing about it is when Dad died, I put that post up just so that people knew that who I was meant to film with knew why I had to take a step back from training, and even regular training partners say I won't be around the gym for a bit, just to save me from personally DMing people. But I had so many messages from random people in the Perth Jiu-Jitsu community and the world Jiu-Jitsu community that, let's say, I've never met before, or I met like maybe like once that, you know, walking past in tournaments or over mats. So many people just message me of the support. You know, hey, we're here for you. If you need anything, let me know. I've been there myself. Hey, if you need a chat, let me know, man. And these were random people. So they weren't, you know, people that, like, I know you and me, like, on that basis. But these were, like, just people that had saw me around on Instagram, saw me around the Perth scene, messaged me. And that's what I love about the Perth scene in particular. Well, actually, not the Perth scene, the jiu-jitsu community. Everyone is so supportive. And it really is a community. When something happens, there's always someone that has their back, and everyone's really open and being helpful to everyone, and, you know, being there when they're vulnerable. It's like I said, because you see these people, especially in this day and age for social media, you watch their stories, you see their feeds, you see their posts, and you feel like you're a part of their lives. It's the same when people listen to your podcast, Brad. They listen to your podcast, and they hear these people, they hear all these names, and they believe that these people are part of their lives as well. So when something happens to them, it impacts them as well, you know, because we're all following each other on this journey. You know, I see when this person gets this stripe, this person sees when they get their promotion, this person sees when they go to that gym. So everyone's following their journey with each other. So when something happens, there's always someone there to support each other. That's a really cool thing about jiu-jitsu and being in that community and being in that circle. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, it's, and that's the funny thing about it is, like, even though it's a sport or a martial art or an art, however you look at it, that's getting increasingly popular, it's still quite a small community when you think about it. And even in Perth in itself, and Australia, I was in Sydney as well, and that's a bigger scene, but the population's double what it is in Perth in general. So you'd assume on that basis that the participation rate would be roughly half as much as well. So Perth, it's a small place, man. And even from the episodes I've done, I feel like I've met quite a lot of people in the scene, and probably yourself even more so, because the way you host your Instagram and your stuff, your face is more prevalent. Mine's just audio, man. And I'm pretty happy with that. Like I'm not trying to be, I'm pretty chill. Hey, like I'm not too worried about putting myself out there as much. Sorry.
So I was saying you're the voice of Perth BJJ. I'm like the face.
I don't know about that. I think there's a lot more people that have a lot more experience and involvement than myself, but I just enjoy the process of putting something out that's a little bit creative, and hopefully people enjoy it. But other than that, I'm pretty relaxed about the whole thing. But yeah, it's, man, you talked about people feeling like feeling for you during that time. I remember I was at your house. I came over your house like probably a week or two before, and and your dad had been in and out of hospital, and he hadn't been well, and we were talking about it. Why was I at your house? I can't remember.
You went to get some rash guards off of me.
Oh, I bought the Humble Rashie.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
That's right. I bought the Humble Rashie, and I haven't been able to wear it yet because my neck's been sore. But hey, Luke, I've got one of your Rashies, and one of these days soon, I'll be able to wear it and roll with it on. And it does look sick. It's the one with the flags, right? And you were telling me that another brand stole that recently.
Names. I don't want people in my DMs.
But yeah, I do have one of those, and that's why I was there. And yeah, we were talking about it, and you were saying like he was looking better.
Yes.
He'd been in and out. You said he'd just come home and things were looking up, and I was like, oh man, that's good to hear. And then a week or so later, you didn't never mention anything to me directly, but I saw the post go up and I was just like, oh man. Like,
it's tough.
Yeah,
it's just one of those things, you know, as I said in that song, the show goes on.
I admire your strength, man. You're like, you know, talking about it like this, it's only been a month or so on, and I guess you're like, you know, the other than your mum and your brother, you're kind of like I'd say the leader of your family almost. So you like, that's a continue that strength and continue to put your front foot forward and like look after everyone.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. So hard to move on from that now.
I'm gonna be deep there for a second, eh?
That's all right, man. On a lighter news, you did receive a gift from me. Was that yesterday or the day before?
The day before yesterday. So those new shorts, that new rash guard is freaking sick.
Yeah.
So listeners, Brad just recently got some pre-samples. Can I mention this?
Yeah, man, go ahead.
Yeah, so Brad just made some pre-samples of a new line of rash guards and fight shorts as well, the Art of Surrender rash guards and shorts. I wore the shorts yesterday at the Open Mat, and they're perfect for me, perfect size. I'm a size 30 waist. So these shorts, they're the kind of shorts that sit above your knee line. So they're not like baggy MMA shorts. These are like shorter shorts. So these are a lot more slim line, a bit more sleek in design, not as baggy. So these are more like trunks than shorts. So they sit above the knee. Great stretch material, and I like the arrangements of how we got the Velcro. We get some shorts where it's just, you know, straight Velcro here, one bottom Velcro there, but these ones, the Velcro's arranged nicely. It's got the drawstring as well. So really great shorts, perfect length, especially for short dudes like me who are like 5'3". So they're really, really good shorts.
Thank you, man. And the rash guard itself is still in the works. I'm in the process now of getting a new design for the back of it because I'm not really happy with that. The feedback I've had, like a lot of it comes down to like you order a sample, right? And mostly I want to see the quality of it. because the design can be anything. I can change that. Like, you can throw whatever on that. So that's easily updated. So the quality of the shorts and the rashi, I'm very happy with. But the design on the back of the rash guard is going to change. And once I'm satisfied with that, then I'll start moving forward with seeing who wants to, I guess, get one. And I will say those shorts, you mentioned Luke liked them.
Yeah, Luke liked them. So my Luke really liked them. He thought they were sick. He liked the Anderson design and the material. So yeah, he had nothing but good things to say, which is really, really cool. So
speak to him. If he wants to know who I'm getting them off, I'd be more than happy to tell him. And then because if he wants that sort of style of shorts, happy to give him direction on that.
Yeah, Luke, if you listen to this, Brad's getting over the invite because Luke listens to this, trust me.
And I need to get him on the podcast too. It's been way too long. Both of them.
He's a busy man himself, I'll tell you that.
Well, all things looking up, man. Hey, you're sitting a bit low. I can't see you anymore.
I'm just reclining. We're good.
So it is also, I need to ask you something because it's a week out now from the McGregor fight. Did you watch it?
Oh, frick, I didn't because during the time they had that McGregor fight, I think I had something on that day. I think I was either doing something for Humble or I was training. I can't remember what it was, but I was busy that day. I was working. Yeah, yes, I missed it. But I don't want to be that guy, but I knew that Poirier was gonna get that one. Don't want to be that guy, but I knew he was going to get that one.
Say no
just
more.
Like, but when you think about it, like, you know, Dustin's been like hungry and he's been determined because he's a different guy to what he was 4 or 5 years ago when they first fought. Totally different guy. Mm. You know, he's had the hunger, he's had the determination, he's had those last few fights where he's, you know, won and won pretty decisively as well. So he's been on a different path, a different tear compared to McGregor. He's been, you know, just doing his thing. Well, you got one guy who's doing his thing, chilling, dabbing here and there, and you got one guy who's on the same consistent path for the whole time for the last 4 years compared to the other guy. Mm-hmm. So literally in your mind, statistically, the guy that's on the consistent path of where he wants to be usually is going to get the other upper hand compared to another guy who's already done what he needs to be done and he's doing little bits, dibs and dabs here and there compared to the other guy who's, you know,
committed fully and wholeheartedly.
Yes. Yeah. So, but it was a good card from what I hear. And everyone wanted to see. What was that? What's that American guy that everyone wanted to see? Michael Chandler. He's been on everyone's talk for the last few years now. So he finally got to show his talent. So that's the fight that people really, casual MMA fans wanted to see Poirier McGregor, but the real MMA fans, they wanted to see that Mike Chandler fight.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was going for Dan Hooker and I was going for McGregor. The McGregor loss, people might write him off now. I think he'll be fine. I think the trilogy will probably happen. There's still heaps of good fights out there for him. But Chandler, disappointed to see Dan Hooker lose, especially in that way. But I think Michael Chandler is going to be a interesting addition to the lightweight division. And it's also good to see someone like him come across from Bellator and have, like, you know, instant success, like where we had Ben Askren come across, and obviously he won his first fight against Robbie Lawler after pretty much being knocked out in the fight, could have been stopped. But he hung in there and got the win, but he didn't have much success. And it was a little bit of a, like, it's just,
He had a big following, Ben Askren, when he was at ONE FC. He had a huge following, and he had a following before that for his, you know, for his wrestling days. But, you know, just what they seem to get some fires to get into the UFC, and they just don't have the previous followings.
Like Ben Askren just came. He should have been in the UFC a few years earlier when he was actually in his prime, and he probably would have done better. But it's a shame. But Michael Chandler's come at the right time. He's got a big win, so now his next fight and the one after that, providing he wins, it's just going to be.
Yeah, and he's got a huge following, a huge underground following of Mike Chandler fans. People love him. Mm. That guy's the next people's champ. That's for sure. Mark my words.
We'll see about that. So, mate, back to jiu-jitsu. What's what is coming up in the scene? I'm sure you're more on the pulse than I am. I know this is going to come out on Monday, and I know Jake O'Driscoll and Bam Bam and another competitor, one or two competitors, I think, from Essence are going over to Adelaide to compete. I had them on the podcast recently to talk about that. I believe you're wearing one of their shirts right now.
They're leaving the sponsor. I am wearing one of their shirts. See? I don't know if you can see. But yeah, there's the sponsored shirts with you see on your screen. Yeah, the M16. They're freaking sick. The comparison on Perth will be Jacob Driscoll, Beth, also known as Bam Bam, Ryan, I'm not quite sure what his last name is, Henan, derived this from Coringa in Essence. And also Pablo Torralba, who was just at the last grappling super fights. So there's actually five people from Perth going over to the M16 Invitational. So it's really cool. We've got five Perth guys coming over to compete. So yeah, it's a stacked card. Like if you follow the Australian Jiu-Jitsu scene, like all those names on those card on that card are like well-known names in the scene. So. If you want to get into the Perth BJJ scene, I suggest getting onto this M16 card to discover some really good talent out there that Perth's got to offer, because that card has pretty much the up-and-coming rising talent or the already talents here at Perth, I mean, in Australia.
Jake was talking about that to me, and he was saying, it's a matter, you need to put yourself out there and get that first opportunity and then grab it with both hands and then just run with it.
It's true.
So all the best to them. This is going to come out on Monday. So that event would have happened a couple of days before this comes out. But I will, the day of the event when it's, about to go live and all that sort of stuff, I'll throw it up on my Instagram socials for the podcast and just to let people know that it's on. I'm sure you'll do the same and we'll help advertise it in that way to support the WA peeps and hopefully they can all get submission wins. That'd be ideal. Come home with all the gold.
That'd be sick if like WA gets 5 for 5 wins. So that would be really cool. And it'll really dig it for Perth and put Perth even more than that. What we already are now. It's really cool.
So outside of M16, what else is going on in Perth? Jiu-jitsu wise or scene wise?
Well, there's the new SGT is coming back on. That will be back in June, the LARP. But from what I know is the head of the June LARP, they've upped the rent fees or the fee for having us down there. So competitors now will have to pay just an extra $2.50 for registration. But that still won't make any difference. But that's going to be really good for the SGT to come up. The next round of grappling super fights in March coming up. The Blue Belt Tournament is coming up. That's going to be really, really good. There's going to be more open mats, not by myself, but by Daz and Free Roller Luke. They're going to be hosting more open mats.
What's that? The morning, the breath roll, the breath work, and the rolls.
There's definitely going to be more of that happening right now, which is really, really cool. And around this time of the year, there's a lot of public holidays. And when there's public holidays, that means one thing: open mats. So get ready for a lot of open mats in the next coming weeks of all the public holidays that are coming up. So this is your chance to go to different gyms and free roll and meet some new people and meet some, awesome mat spaces. There's also an open mat happening up at Combat Arts Institute in Leaderville. The black belt coach there, Donnie, he invited me to that. I think that's sometime next month in 2 weeks. They're doing a big open mat, but that's what's coming up really soon at Kaya, at Combat Arts Institute in Leaderville. There's a lot of open mats happening right now.
Speaking of all these different open mats and people going to different gyms and training and all these sorts of things, and obviously you, people say you're a Creonte, because you're known for going around to different gyms. I wanted to ask.
You won't believe the amount of shit talk I still get from people, man, even behind my back. I get a lot of hate.
Who gives a fuck what people think? Who cares? What I was going to ask you was, if you train at one gym, right, and you have one source of knowledge, you're learning from your head coach and maybe some instructionals as well that you're blending in amongst it to help facilitate your learning. I wanted to ask, from your experience, what has it been like going around to so many different gyms and training, do you think that that's helping speed up your ability to learn? Or do you think that maybe even though you're getting your name out there more, is that kind of slowing it down because there's bits and pieces from everywhere? I get also
it can be both helpful and detrimental. I'm able to do it because I've been rolling quite a long time now. So all my knowledge and all my my base comes from my coach, James Woodfield Jones. So I've got a pretty good idea of what I know I can do, like skill-wise, what I can't do, what moves I'm good at, what moves I can improve on. So basically, if you're comfortable with yourself and comfortable where you're at your level of the game of jiu-jitsu, then going to other gyms, everything else is just an add-on. It's just having fun. It's just fun roles, basically. But I do suggest to do like big gym hopping when you're further down the track, mainly because when you first start getting into jiu-jitsu, let's say the first year, stick to one gym so you can get your base knowledge, your fundamentals, your basics, get it from one person, or at least learn that first before you go to other gyms. Because if you keep jumping into gyms, you won't grow a strong foundation or a strong base. If you keep just bouncing around, you'll just keep getting extras. You'll just keep getting add-ons. But you can get extras and add-ons laid down the track. But rather, I'd encourage someone, get those laid down the track. But for now, in your first year of training, get yourself a good fundamental base that works for you. You know, guard passing, different types of guards, escaping side control, basic takedowns. Get yourself a solid foundation on that first, and then you'll grow a lot more better in your jiu-jitsu, and then you can start visiting other gyms to roll different people. Don't get me wrong, it's fun to roll with your friends and hang out, but if you're going to do it frequently and often, stick to one club first for a bit, just so you can get that strong fundamental base before you start picking bits and pieces here and there. Like, I suggest do that later on.
I think that's fantastic. Honestly, I think that's great advice. Early days, I think it's important to be, it's not that you can't visit other gyms, but you know, you need your fundamental knowledge and the source of where you get your information from to be consistent.
Yeah. Cause basically especially when you first sign up at a gym or you're consistent at a gym, they will usually run a curriculum or like a schedule of moves. All right, guys, we're going to focus this whole month on guard passing. Next month, we're going to focus the whole month on escaping the back. All right, guys, you know that Mondays is basic fundamental class and Thursday is basic fundamental class. You get into that rhythm and you get into that that flow of moves as you go up. So there's a lot more steady progression and you know where you're at, you know what moves you are working on compared to when you're like bouncing here and out. You're just getting so many different add-ons, bits and pieces that don't correlate and don't work together into a personal game. You know what I mean? And
I mean, from a gym owner's perspective, you'd think that maybe a student who's here, there, and everywhere might not be perceived as being committed to your academy as students who are at your academy consistently. So you're probably more inclined to offer, obviously you're going to help them when they come to your gym, but in terms of like really helping them develop, you know, you've got your student base that you're focused on. And if someone's coming in and out and moving around, you're probably less inclined to help them as much. Whereas if they are an established student, like you're talking about, and they grow through the ranks like you have under James, and then you get to a certain point where you're a brown belt now, and then you're moving around and doing what you're doing, you're kind of like, you're at a stage in your career, so to speak, where you know what you're doing.
And I said, it all just comes down and comments to how well you know yourself and how comfortable you are with your personal game, your personal rolling. Like I said, once you know what you're capable of and what moves, you know, and your movesets and your ability to roll with other people, because it's scary rolling with people from a different gym, because you can be top dog at this gym, but you go to another gym where it's a completely different game, different landscape, different style, different sizes, and you can get totally smashed and demolished. And some people don't like visiting other gyms because they know, or they get the fear that if I go to this gym, I won't be the top dog at the mat anymore. But I encourage it all the time when I see people. I go to gyms, the specific ones where I know I'm going to get smashed. There's two gyms actually, both of them are actually in the same area. I won't mention them, but they'll know who I'm talking about when they hear this. But they're both in the same area. And every time I go to those two gyms, it's pretty much game time. Like, there's no flow rolling around. It's all, everyone's great. Like, they're all friendly and they're all look after each other. But it's like, I got to switch on, mainly because if I don't switch on, and I don't keep to the pace of these guys, I could hurt myself, injure myself.
Yeah.
So, but like I said, you just got to know if you're, how well you are comfortable rolling with other people and being vulnerable, being at another gym, different style. Because like I said, it is intimidating when you go to a new gym, whether you're a white belt or a purple belt or a brown belt, you know, going in there and being vulnerable to yourself. Like I said, get your first base knowledge first, and then once you're comfortable, then you can visit these other gyms and do it quite regularly as well. Because like I said, it's best to know the basic moves you need to know before you go to an open mat where it literally is an open mat and you might roll a guy, he's all right, we're doing footlocks, all right, we're doing top standing wrestling. It's like, oh, frick, I didn't learn this stuff yet because I've been too busy bouncing around different gyms. I haven't learned how to escape these moves yet, you know what I mean? So that's the exact prime example of what can happen when you're bouncing around different gyms and not getting a solid base, solid roots yet.
Yeah, put you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
All right, man. What do you reckon? Let's call it. I think that's a solid hour right now. Boom, on the dot.
I haven't even been noticing, eh? I just know that when I started chatting to you, it was daytime in the background of your head, and now it's nighttime. So now it's just your face around your face right now.
Yeah, I know. I forgot to turn the light on because it was daytime. And then as I started to see it get dark too, and I was like, I can't, we're in the middle of talking, I can't get up and leave.
It's like turned to dark now. That's so right. That is pretty funny.
Hello, darkness, yeah, my old friend.
Yeah, I feel that. That was good, man. It was a good solid hour. That was good. And then soon I'll get you at my one. We'll do a video one. And hopefully the viewers out there got a good listen and got a good yarn on the car and the drive home to work. That's what I listen to podcasts. I always listen to on the car ride from work. There too. So
yeah, I do the same thing. All right, man, let's call it. That's episode number 38 in the books, and that's your third appearance on the potty. And I'll say it again for listeners, if you like listening to Jamil, you can check him out on episode number one, which would actually be an interesting listen to see how you and me speak to one another, because that was probably one of the first times we'd met and we didn't know each other like we do now.
First time we talked on a microphone for both of us. So now we can compare the confidence of how to speak on a microphone from then until now. I think in that first one, I was stuttering and talking really, really fast, but now I'm like used to talking now. So
episode one and episode 17 and now episode 38. And speaking of confidence, mate, I was winging it then and I'm still winging it now. So it ebbs and it flows, and you just keep going.
I've been winging it as well. And I don't think we've had any bad spots, but yeah, it's pretty easy.
All right, bro. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. And I'm sure I'll see you in the next week or two anyway.
All right, sounds good, man.
All right.
All right, so I'll
see you, mate. Thank you, everybody.